إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we'll do a quick recap as to where we left off in the previous week together. In the previous week together, we spoke about how when the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited to certain people, certain individuals, they turn away. And when it is mentioned to them that there shall be a ba'ath, a time when everyone shall be collected and everyone shall be resurrected, these people, in some cases, not only are they doubtful of what they hear in regards to the resurrection, but they use mockery in order to make their point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to such allegations, such statements, He says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ, and how many have we destroyed before them? Yeah. مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَثَاثًا وَرِئْيًا, and the people that we destroyed for centuries before Him, such individuals who utter such nonsense, such statements, etc. and so forth, there are individuals who are better than them in terms of riches, in terms of material wealth, etc. Athath, wari'ya, and prestige. You know, something that you see, prestige, beauty, prestige, that sort of thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only will He cause these people to eventually die, but He has done so many times on so many occasions to those who similarly felt. So in regards to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the destiny of mankind, where they ultimately shall go, and that is the earth, the ground itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا رَأُوا مَا يُعَدُونَ, until they see what is promised. And when they see what is promised, subhanAllah, that will be a changing moment. إِمَّا الْعَذَابُ وَإِمَّا السَّاعَةُ, it is either the punishment of the afterlife, or it is either the hour itself when they shall come to realize, فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ شَرٌ مَكَانًا وَأَضْعَفُ جُنَّا, who is worse off in regards to this issue. Now the disbelievers, they used to scoff at the mu'mineen, make mockery of them. Do you actually believe that there shall come a time when your bones, their dust, they become living once again? You know, this is the kind of mockery, this is the kind of scoff which the people, similar to people in our times, were well aware of and used to, in a sense. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when this time does come, when the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does pass, you're going to be in a very weak position. أَضْعَفُ جُنْدًا وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدًى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate those who deny His signs, who mock His signs. But as for those who believe in His signs and are rightly guided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase them with guidance upon guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall increase them. But who are these people? الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدًى, they are people who have guidance, but even after they receive guidance, they are constantly making sure that they are upon guidance. Right? And we understand this grammatically because of the usage of, two similar words. اهتدوا هدى. Yeah? As we mentioned previously, I mentioned the example previously of maful mutlaq in the Arabic language. If we say daraba Muhammad darban, right, it implies he gave him a real beating, a very strong and heavy beating. So a simile is implied. والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك, and as for those leftover deeds, they are better to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values them. ثوابا وخير مردا, subhanAllah. And as for those deeds which the good doers work upon, which the mu'mineen work upon in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they reach guidance, they work upon their guidance. They do more. They follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They try to familiarize themselves with the Quran, the Book of Allah. Guidance after guidance. And as for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Whatever good deeds they have, it's better. Better than anything. You know, that's the impression that is being given by this ayah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. Have you seen the one who denies our signs? So we're back from the kafir to the mu'min, back to the kafir. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses such a usage, it's as though He is saying, you know, look at this one. Look at how terrible he is. Look at how much of a devil he is. وَقَالَ لَأُوْتِعَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. SubhanAllah. You know, this is in reference to Khabab radiallahu one of the mushrikeen by the name of As ibn Wa'il. He basically made a deal with this Sahabi. And, this mushrik, he said, I shall never pay you back. I shall never give you that money. Right? And Khabab basically tells him, you will give back to me when you are resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Right? He's promising him, I'll never give that money back to you. And he says, okay, give it back to me on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when you are raised up again. So obviously this mushrik, he does not believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah, right? He does not believe in the resurrection. So he says, okay, fine. And he says, he adds on to that something very terrible. And it shows, you know, what is in the heart of some of these people when they deny the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لَأُوْتِيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Right? In this life, in the life of this world, I have wealth and I have, you know, a very fine progeny. And he's saying, you know, if I have this in the life of this world right here and now, I can have the same thing in the afterlife, the akhirah. Not knowing what the akhirah is, basically. He's making that statement. SubhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a means to humiliate this mushrik, He says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. Have you seen the one who said this? You know, how foolish is he is, how stupid he is, essentially. وَقَالَ لَأُوْتِيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. And he says that I shall be given wealth, I shall be given, you know, progeny in the afterlife. Look how foolish it is, you know. أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ. Does he have access to the ghayb, to the world of the unseen? أَمِتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ يَهْدَ. Or has he taken a contract from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah? Unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, inshallah no one in this room, but many from this ummah, from amongst this ummah, they have a similar mindset to this mushrik. And this is the parable or the lesson that is being made essentially. This mushrik, you know, out of his pride, you know, out of his limited understanding of, you know, Islam, etc. and so forth, he's making a claim that in the akhirah he's going to be saved. He's going to be okay. Smooth sailing. And unfortunately, this is the case with many quote-unquote Muslims. They depend on La ilaha illallah. And that's it. They'll create all sorts of evils. You know, they abandon the prayer. Will never even think of paying the zakah or going for hajj. But they have the nerve to say, La ilaha illallah, this will save me. No problem. And as we know, you know, the correct belief in regards to La ilaha illallah is that the statement, after it is uttered, it is meant to be echoed on the limbs by the actions itself. This is the definition of Iman in Islam. Yeah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, this will never happen. What he is thinking shall happen, shall never come to pass. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّ. We are going to collect and keep what he says, subhanAllah. Everything is recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Sometimes a person, he enters something in the life of this world. He'll think of it as something small and insignificant. But as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not insignificant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping it, He is storing it. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِيمًا. Who is worse than the one who utters a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is essentially what such a claim, claims, essentially. وَنَرِثُهُ وَمَا يَقُولُ. We shall inherit him and whatever he says. Again, usage of the word narith, inherit. We shall inherit him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already inherits him. He already has him. He already owns him. But there is a deeper meaning attached to this, metaphorical inheritance. You know, this man, in the life of this world, he can basically do whatever he wants. He's got a will. If he wants, he can disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants, he can be dishonest, as he's being with Khabab radiallahu anhu. If he wants, he can say all of the things that he wants to say. And we see this, we see this even in our day, in the life of this world today. But as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَنَرِثُهُ. We shall inherit him. He thinks that he is strong and powerful now at the moment. But when the time comes, we shall command everything for him. How hot the hellfire is for him, he shall control nothing. How long he stays here in that location in the hellfire, how long he stays in this location, everything is going to be controlled for him, as though he's an object. وَمَا يَقُولُ وَنَرِثُهُ وَمَا يَقُولُ. And what he said. What he said is never going to be forgotten. And what he said is going to be used as evidence against him in the Akhirah. وَيَأْتِينَ فَرْدًا. And he's going to come by himself alone to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by himself. You know, this man, he's claiming that, he's going to have wealth and progeny in the Akhirah. Because he has it right now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no. You're going to come to us, farda, alone, by yourself. No one else is there. Just you. Alone, subhanallah. You have your own deeds to deal with, and that's it. No one else. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّةً. And they take idols, they take gods, so that they can have honor. But in Islam, we know that when we say gods, it does not necessarily just mean idols or idolatry. Yeah? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ta'isa abdul dinar, ta'isa abdul dirham. May the slave of the dinar be cursed. So a person, he can be slave to money as well. What is occupying this man's thoughts in the life of this world is partially wealth, prestige, athath and ri'ya, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Athatha wa ri'ya. The very same things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing. And these very things, this man, he's enamored by them. Right? He thinks that in the Akhirah it will be his right to have them, just as he has them right now. It gives you the mindset that wealth, that wealth sometimes gives to people, as though they are entitled to something, as though it really does belong to them, their right and no one else's. Kalla, no, this will never pass. سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدَّةً. Whatever a person has worshipped in the life of his world, be it, real idols, be it, money itself, whatever a person worshipped in the life of this world, these things will punish the person in the Akhirah. Yeah? وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ ضِدَّةً. They will be against him. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا. Subhanallah. Have you not seen how the shayateen are sent upon the kafirin. Right? Meaning that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perhaps saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that, you know, these people, these ideas are not necessarily coming from them. They are basically playthings for the shayateen. The shayateen are pushing them this way and that way. Yeah? And the next ayah is beautiful for anyone who has an inclination towards dawah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْجَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Because of this reason, you should not be strict, you should not be harsh, you should not be quick on them. Right? If someone utters a word of kufr, don't jump on him. Right? Give him a chance. And this is essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَلَا تَعْجَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Right? This man, you know, some of these people, they're essentially playthings for the shayateen. The evil that they carry, the evil that they speak, is not necessarily originating from them. In some cases it is, right? But as for such individuals, they're playthings for the shayateen. You know, As ibn Wail, he was one of the mushrikeen, but he was not one of the major mushrikeen. And so this is, you know, a practical example of how we should be approaching, you know, some, you know, belligerent non-Muslims who are very critical of Islam, for example. They're essentially playthings for the shayateen. Don't be too quick on them. Give them a chance to back down. You know, be persistent in the way that you give your dawah, etc. إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا. We shall give them their specified time. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَفْدًا. Subhanallah. Beautiful ayah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this mushrik whom was the one that was dealing with Khabab radiallahu anhu. And he mentions that he shall be approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala farda, alone, by himself. Right? Now here, we are told that as for the believers, they shall be taken into paradise, wafda, as delegates. Yeah, wafda, we use this word as delegates. In groups, wafda. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses the same word for those who shall be sent to the fire. It's the same word, but in one context, it's a positive context. In another, it's something entirely different. Why? Because when people enter paradise for the very first time, you know, we have this false belief that people, when they go to paradise, enter paradise, they shall be entering with their hulul ayn or something like that. No. You shall be entering with your family. Right? This is how you shall enter paradise. In delegations, with your family members. Right? وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا. Yeah? And as for the mushrikeen, they are also driven, right? But not in waft, right? Not in wafdan, right? Not in delegations. There is no respect attached to what they're doing. As for the mushrikeen, as for those who make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as for the people of Jahannam, they shall be driven towards Jahannam, right? Driven, what does that mean, right? Meaning, look, they don't want to move forward. They're scared of going to Jahannam. They don't want to go forward. They're seeing it with their own eyes. And, you know, they just don't want to move forward. As to the people of paradise, you know, they're walking in it by themselves. You know, they're smiling, they're laughing, and they have glee on their face. They have, you know, the light on their face, nur on their face, and they walk into paradise. As for the people of the hellfire, they don't even want to go to hellfire. And as a result, they're being pushed by the malaika, pushed by other groups who are entering the hellfire, right? لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا. And no one shall possess intercession. No one shall possess intercession. Why is this being mentioned? This is the theme of the surah. Because the people of shirk, whenever they enter shirk, they do so through the door of intercession. Yeah. For example, when the Christians pray, they ask Jesus. When the mushrikeen, they have something to ask of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the mushrikeen, they believed in Allah. They ask the idols. They ask Allat, they ask Uzza, etc. and so forth. Right? So, you know, even, you know, modern day mushrikeen, you know, whether they be from, you know, Hinduism, whatever it is, they have a concept of Tawheed. It's somewhere deep down in the religion. It's probably even hidden, but it's there, right? And the core belief, you know, where this practice of idolatry came from, you know, as we see in the generation of Nuh alayhi salam, they took people who were scholars, heroes, pious people, etc. and so forth, and they made statues out of them. And over time, they decided to worship them. You know, by asking them, you know, as intercessors. You are so pious, you are so great, we ask you so that you can ask Allah. This is how, you know, the origin of shirk, this is how shirk began. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as for those who enter the hellfire, as for those who are driven into the hellfire, لا يملكون الشفاعة, they shall not obtain intercession إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا, except for the one who obtains an ahd from Ar-Rahman. What does that mean? The intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Akhirah, you know, people will be gathered and they will basically want the hour to begin. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and they shall beg for the hour to begin. The hisab to begin, that judgment to begin, etc. and so forth. So, as we know, all of mankind, they shall be resurrected naked, you know, uncircumcised, etc. and so forth. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to be naked? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, no, it's not what you think. You know, everyone will be so panicked, so scared that they won't even look at anyone in that way. You know, they won't even notice the nakedness. Right? So, the first to be clothed out of the consensus of Muslim scholars is Ibrahim alayhi salam. The first to be clothed. And so they shall go to him first. And then they shall go to every single other prophet, including Musa alayhi salam, including Nuh alayhi salam. Finally, they shall go to Isa alayhi salam. Again, it's to do with the surah, you know, what the theme of the surah. It's a surah about Isa alayhi salam. And so Isa alayhi salam, he is the one who directs them to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, ana laha, ana laha. And he says, ummati, ummati. He says, this is for me, I can do this, I can do this. My ummah, my ummah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says. And this is out of his love for his ummah. We are told that every single prophet is given a specific dua that can be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delayed it so that he could ask of intercession for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaches the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people part. They make way for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes sujood and calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by names which are so glorious and which are so great. Some of them are basically his secret names, the one he loves to be called by the most, etc. and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaims to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, raise your head, ask for intercession. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins his intercession. Those people who are going to be decreed paradise, who are decreed paradise, they shall be elevated in their ranks in paradise. Right? And as for those people who were going to the fire from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their sentence will be lessened. They shall get out sooner or they won't even go at all. This is the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a right of every believer. Everyone who believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is called a Muslim, etc. and so on. This is his right out of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا. Subhanallah. And as for those who say that Ar-Rahman, he has a son. Why do they do this? Because they want intercession from the Son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Allah Himself. Now if you look at it, this, it's a disgusting kind of belief with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if you are asking the Son of God, quote unquote, Son of God, it means you don't believe that God Himself has rahmah, has mercy. You're asking the quote-unquote Son of God. Why? Because you think he's going to have empathy for you, sympathy for your cause, etc. and so forth. This is why you call to Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانِ. And they say that the most merciful one has a son. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful than anyone. Anything. Subhanallah. In the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions and he saw a woman who was frantically searching for her son, and she finds him and she hugs him and she kisses him, etc., like a mother would do for her small child. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarks to his companions radiyallahu anhum, do you think that this woman, she would throw her child into the fire? And I say, no, we would never assume such a thing. We would never think such a thing. And he says, subhanAllah, he says, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ. Allah is more merciful than this woman than she is to her own child. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّ. And as for those who say this, they have come to something which is described as idda. Idda, it refers to something which can openly be criticized. It's so terrible that you simply need common sense to reply. Right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You have come to something which is just so easy to respond to. You know, it's just common sense to respond to it because it's just so wrong. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَا. It is almost time that the skies themselves, they break or tear asunder. Right? وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ. And that the earth be ripped apart. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ حَدَّ. And the mountains be torn away in explosions. Hadda, explosions. Why? Why is all this description being given to us? أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا. Because they said that Ar-Rahman has a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. And you know, the imagery which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us is, of course, imagery of Yawm al-Qiyamah itself, how it starts, right? When Yawm al-Qiyamah occurs, this will be, you know, a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, is angry like no other. And we can see it just in this ayah itself. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ مِنْ وَلَدًا. It is not appropriate for Ar-Rahman, the most merciful one, to have a son. Yes. You know, like that foolish question that is asked, you know, if Allah can do anything, can He create a rock that even He cannot lift? It's a foolish question, you know, silly question. You know, we can say, yes, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His power, out of His ability to do anything, He can, yes, okay, fine. He could have a son. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي. You know, it is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a son. It does not suit the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He have a son. In nature, anything which has a child or offspring or progeny, you know, it's defined by certain features. It's animalistic in nature or it's human in nature. And if we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son, we're putting him in one of these two categories, either an animal or a human. Subhanallah. إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آت الرحمن عبدا. Yeah? The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not like the rights of man. Everyone comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a servant. Yeah? Hypothetically speaking, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son, that son would come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too as a servant. Nothing is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment that you say that there is something like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have committed shirk and you have left the religion.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَدَّ.
And as for those who believe. Believe. Believe is mentioned first. Why? Because it's the most important. What is the way you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the way that you perceive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the way that you perceive the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why belief is mentioned first. And as for these people who believe righteously and do good works righteously. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us it is not merely not enough for a person to say, I believe. Rather, this belief needs to be backed up by good action. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا الرَّحْمَنُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman shall make for them ease in the afterlife.
فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ.
And as for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is being told that all of this has been made easy for you from this Qur'an. Time and time again, we hear people ask, you know, what is the best book for giving dawah? What is the best book on Islamic history? What is the best book that gives us a reminder about Yawm al-Qiyamah? What is the best book that tells us what will happen in the Akhirah? They assume that you will mention, you know, some book written by some author, you know, modern day author, etc. No. The best book for all of these things that we have mentioned is the Qur'an itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have made it easier for you. This Qur'an has been used as a means for you to convey the message easily. Then why is it that, you know, whenever we give da'wah, whenever we talk about Islam, we talk about so many other things except the book of Allah. Everything except the book of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this very important hadith, "Balighu anni walau aya." Mention in regards to me, mention about me, talk about me, even if it is one single ayah. He's not saying mention of me if it is one of my statements, or he's not simply saying mention of me, etc., etc. He's saying mention of me even if it is one single ayah. The best way that we can do, you know, dawah is from the best of acts. And the best way, one of the best ways we can give dawah itself is by using the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself as a reminder. Right?
وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحَسُّ مِنْ فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدَّا.
We have made this Qur'an for you so that you can mention it to a qawm which is rebellious, a qawm which does not listen.
وَكَمْ أَهْلَقْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ.
And how many have these people, these qawms, have we destroyed before them?
مِنْ قَدْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ.
Do you feel anything in regards to them? So many have been destroyed. Ad, Thamud, the people of Fir'aun. You know, all of these people, all of these nations, do they have any strength at the moment? You know, did they have any strength at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives human beings a certain period of time, and when that period has expired, that's it. Subhanallah.
أَوْ تَسْمَعْ لَهُمْ رِكْزَ.
Do you hear anything about them? Do you hear them speak? Right? I was recently reading up on an ayah where the Prophet Iyas alayhi salam, you know, different surah, not the surah,
he says to his people, أَتَدَعُونَ بَعْلًا? Would you worship Baal? Would you worship Baal? And you know, this is amazing. You know, it's mentioned in the Quran, but you know, the religion of Baalism, it's a dead religion for the past, you know, not thousands of years, but more than thousands of years, you know, for the past, you know, 10,000 years or so. It was a major religion, right? And now it's nothing. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was nothing. Yeah? It's gone. Major religion, and now it's nothing, right? وَكَمْ أَحْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْدٍ هَلْ تُحِسُ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا أَوْ تَسْمَعْ لَهُمْ رِكْسًا? You hear nothing about them whatsoever. Whatsoever. SubhanAllah. And this is something really to think about at the end of the day. At the end of the day, there is going to come a time when we shall be nothing. Yeah? After generations, you know, perhaps people will forget even our names. Right? Perhaps your children will remember who you are, you know, grandchildren, etc. and so forth. But after that, after some time, you will stop even being mentioned or referenced on the earth. Life will continue. SubhanAllah. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, there is something reserved for you in the Akhirah. Not only will you be judged for your deeds, everything will be predefined for you. Where are you heading? Where are you going? Paradise, the hellfire. You know, at the end of the day, we can talk about many, you know, high concept issues. Many issues, you know, academia, politics, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, you only have one of two choices. It is either hellfire, or it is either paradise. And one of the things that this entire surah teaches us is, which path is it that we truly want to follow? The path of Tawheed, the path of righteousness, it's the one that leads to paradise. And as for the path of paradise, how is it gained? You know, we learn from the surah so many things. I mean, we can recollect them for you, right? Through dua, right? Supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with firm conviction, with sincerity, being sincere in your belief on Tawheed. Believe in Tawheed, but be sincere on that belief of Tawheed. You know, ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua. And likewise, establish the prayer, establish zakah. Likewise, as the prophets, peace be upon them, did, you know, Ismail, he used to wake up his family, encourage, you know, following the deen in your family, give dawah as the prophets, peace be upon him, did, how Ibrahim, alayhi salam, did with his father, his qawm, etc., and so forth. You know, all of these things have been laid out in this particular surah. It is up to us if we want to follow these words of advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in His book. Do we truly want paradise? And if so, why aren't we following those examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out, not just in this surah, but in other surahs as well? And as for the path of the hellfire, we've seen examples where such statements, such behavior or thinking, it can apply even to those from our own ummah, right? Those who have a poor concept of intercession, those who believe that that they have a right to be bestowed something special by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah, even though that this belief is based on nothing. You know, there's so many things that we can learn from this. So look, as we finish this tafsir of Surah Maryam, you know, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allow us to understand these things, and that He allow us to gain a strong foothold on these things that we have mentioned and discussed. So with that, we'll end there. Jazakumullahu khair.